Dr. Christian's office.
The Vaseline Program, the only program in radio where the audience writes the scripts. And the spotlight is on South Boston, Massachusetts tonight. And the prize goes to Robert P. Toland of 852 East 3rd Street for his play, Requiem for a Hero, starring Gene Herschold as Dr. Christian, with Rosemary DeCamp in the role of Judy Price. Men, dry scalp can certainly detract from your appearance. Don't ignore dry scalp. Watch for these warning signs. Dry, brittle, rebellious hair. Loose, unsightly dandruff. Tight, itchy scalp. At the first sign of dry scalp, start using Vaseline Hair Tonic. With Vaseline Hair Tonic, you combat dry scalp. Check it easily, quickly, effectively. Vaseline Hair Tonic actually supplements natural scalp oils. Contains no alcohol or other drying ingredients. Apply just 5 drops a day. You will check dry scalp, groom rebellious hair, keep it soft and neat, combed just right. Also, a brisk Vaseline Hair Tonic massage before each shampoo helps loosen dandruff, relieves itchy tightness. Vaseline Hair Tonic gives double care, both scalp and hair. Checks dry scalp, leaves your hair natural looking, attractive, and keeps it that way all day long. Remember, more men use Vaseline Hair Tonic today than any other hair tonic in America. Buy, try Vaseline Hair Tonic. Tonight, at the end of this program, Gene Herschold will tell you about the new competition for the $2,000 Dr. Christian Award for 1946, which every writer, amateur or professional, is invited to enter. So be sure to listen with special attention. Now, for tonight's play, Requiem for a Hero. Dr. Christian and Judy are just starting out for the hospital when they pause for a moment to greet a tall man with ruddy cheeks and laughing eyes who walks toward them with a spring of youth still in his step. It is the village priest, Father John Mulligan.
Good morning, Father John.
And the top of the morning to you, Judy. And to you too, Paul.
Good morning.
Judy, it is lovely you are today.
Oh, thank you, Father. You always say the nicest things.
Sure, and who wouldn't say nice things about you, Judy?
That's enough, Blarney, Father.
That is true, Blarney, Paul. Say now, when can I give you another beating of chess?
Why, you never saw the day you could beat me. And when I get a free night, I'll come up to the rector and give you some more lessons at the game.
Oh, now, Judy, will you listen to the man? It's demented he is.
He is not, and I'll bet he could beat you, so there.
You see, Father, what did the Blarney get you?
Sure, Paul. The poor lass is so much in your company, she's lost her senses.
Why, Father John.
Father, let there be peace between us until we can settle this chess matter.
Peace let there be. Peace is sorely needed today by one poor soul among many.
Who's that, Father John?
I'm off to the state prison, Judy. The regular chaplain is ill, and I've been asked to bring the peace of God to John Mulligan.
John Mulligan? Oh, he's the murderer who is going to be electrocuted next week. Judy and I were remarking on the coincidence of your names.
John Mulligan. I can hardly believe it. But I was... Oh, saints preserve us. Look at the time. I've only got 5 minutes to catch my train. I'll look for you soon, Paul, my bragging friend. Lessons at chess, is it? I'll show you. Goodbye, Judy. And you too, Paul. God bless you both.
Goodbye, Father.
Goodbye, Father. Ah, that priest is loved by everyone in Riversend. I don't know what we'd do without him. And yet...
Yet what?
Yet he's got a lot to learn about chess.
Oh, you and your chess.
On my first free night, remind me that I have a date with our priestly friend. Beat me at chess, will he? I'll show him. home again, Judy. It's been a long day.
Yes, it was, Dr. Christian. Look, isn't that someone on the porch?
Why, yes, it's Father John, isn't it?
It is. That's strange.
Very strange. I hope nothing is wrong. Well, we'll soon see.
Hello, Father John. We didn't expect to see... What on earth's the matter?
Paul, Judy. God help me.
Here, let me have a look at you, Father. Judy, please, will you get some water?
Right away, Doctor.
Now, Father, just sit back and relax. You had a shock.
Aye, Paul. Didn't I say it would be a black day when we talked this morning? It is the blackest I've ever known.
I've never seen you so upset.
Here's the water, Dr. Christian.
Thank you, Judy. Now, Father, drink this. Slowly now.
You and Judy are all the medicine I need. Ah, that's good.
I think it would be best for you to come into the house and lie down for a while, Father.
As you will, Paul. I'm in your hands.
That's fine. Come along, then. There now, the color is coming back to your cheeks. Make yourself comfortable.
Sure, I'm comfortable enough, Paul, but... may heaven help us. I've just seen a ghost.
A ghost?
Yes, Judy. But this ghost is flesh and blood.
Go on, Father.
I went to the prison today, as you know. I spent an hour with John Mulligan, helping him to make his peace with God. Sure, he's not at all bad. Just as I was leaving, I noticed, heaven help me, the ring.
The ring, Father John?
Yes, Judy. My ring.
Yours?
Paul, John Mulligan is my son.
What?
But priests don't have sons.
Very rarely, Judy. But sometimes, and within all the tenets of the church, too, a priest can have a son.
Your son? I can't believe it.
That is a long story, Paul. It goes back 30 years, when I was only a lad, and I was married.
Married?
Yes, Judy, married. It is something I've never told anyone till now.
Married? You must have been very young, Father.
Sure, I was only 18, Paul. And in love with the fairest Colleen in all Ireland. Right after our marriage, I came to America to make a home for us in the New World, leaving her in Ireland until I could provide that home. And during that time, our son was born. A son whom I never saw. My wife died a week later.
Father John.
Ah, Judy, 'tis not all. My old father started for America with my fine son and... well, they were both lost at sea when their ship sank with all hands.
Oh, how terrible. Oh, but, Father John, explain how you could be a priest and still married.
It is this way, Judy. The church authorities check very carefully when a man wants to be a priest. In my case, they secured all the information about my wife and son's death. The bishop weighed the facts and admitted me in the seminary where I studied for the priesthood.
And we know how well you've done from there on. But how can this this John Mulligan be your son?
That brings us to the ring, Paul. You see, the ring was an heirloom in the family, and my father gave it to us when we married. But sure, I was never much for wearing baubles, so I left it with my wife when I came to America. When she died, God rest her. Father wrote me that he was bringing it with him.
But if he had it, that should have been lost with the ship, too.
Sure, 'tis my ring. Never another like it in the world with its odd setting and the name Mulligan carved inside the band. I asked him where he got it, and he told me it was part of a little parcel found with him when he was picked up by fishermen.
Oh.
Alone in a boat he was when they found him.
But that's incredible, Father.
Perhaps, Paul. But to go on. He was brought up by these fishermen. Ran away from home when he was 15. Then it was the old, old story. Bad company, reform schools, and now this murder.
Oh, you mustn't believe this, Father John. It just can't be true.
No. It is more than the ring, Judy. Tis the way he talks, the look of him, his laugh. There's something inside tells me that John Mulligan, the murderer, is my son.
Are you going back there tomorrow, Father?
Of course, Paul. Tomorrow I'll tell him the whole story.
I'd like to go with you, if I may.
Sure, I'd love to have you, Paul. And you too, Judy.
Oh.
It would ease me pain.
And I'd like a few minutes alone with with this man before you see him.
Sure, that's not much to ask. But why, Paul?
I want to tell him the whole story instead of having you do it.
Well, what good would that do?
We'll see, Father John. Now it's time for us to get you home and into bed.
In here, Dr. Christian.
Thank you, God. I shan't be too long. I'm Dr. Christian of Riversend.
How are you, Doctor? Have a seat on the cot.
Thank you. I haven't much time, so I'll come right to the point.
Suits me. My time is limited, too, by about 6 days.
Mulligan, you had a visitor from a priest yesterday.
Oh, my namesake. Say, that's a laugh, ain't it? He having the same name as me. Sure is the right guy, but he got sick all of a sudden. Said he'd be back today, though. How is he?
Much better. He's outside now with my nurse.
Oh, he is? Well, no harm in seeing him again.
It's on his account that I'm here. Would you mind answering a couple of questions?
Why not? Shoot.
Where did you get that ring?
Oh, the ring again. Oh, Father John asked me the same thing yesterday, and hey, come to think of it, that's just about when he got sick. What's cooking about this ring?
Please, won't you tell me where you got it?
Well, can't do no harm now. You see, Doctor, I never knew who my mother and father were. When I was just a baby, I was picked up at sea by some fishermen.
Fishermen, you say?
Well, I don't mind telling you, Doctor. I didn't want to make it too strong for Father John yesterday. I was picked up in an open boat, but not by fishermen. No, those guys were smugglers.
Smugglers?
Sure, Doctor. Or they posed as fishermen, but that was just a blind. The real racket was opium and diamonds and stuff like that.
So that's how you got your start in life?
Yeah, they were a wild bunch. They went in a bootlegging game later. Lived on a lonely section of the coast.
They told you this story?
Right. Anyhow, the boss and his wife took a kind of a shine to me and brought me up as if I was their kid.
And the ring?
Well, Doctor, the ring was in a little parcel found in the rowboat with me. At least that's what they told me. The boss took a shine to that, too. He used to wear it, but when he died, I stole it and I ran away.
How old were you then?
Oh, about 15, I guess. Yeah, I ran away from home and, well, then it was the old story. Reform schools, one or two raps, easy money, and finally, well, I killed this guy. And the rat deserved it.
I see. Tell me, what was the name of the ship you were on?
How do I know? I was only a year old.
But the lifeboat must have carried the ship's name.
Yeah, I suppose so, only no one ever told me.
And what else did the parcel have besides the ring?
The parcel? Not a thing, Doctor, not a thing. At least, no one said so.
Mulligan, you're lying.
What? Why,
Sit down, Mulligan. Now I'm going to talk.
So, I'll sit down. But you better talk fast, Mr. Doctor, or you can scram out of here quick.
Mulligan, Father John believes that you are his son.
Huh? Say that again.
Father John says you're his son.
Oh, that's a laugh. How could I be a priest's son? Well, that's crazy.
Not so crazy. Let me tell you the story. John.
Father Mulligan's son. A son like me.
Yes, John, a son like you. And I don't believe it.
His son. What? So, you don't believe it, huh?
I've just checked your prison records. I must admit, they're very vague as to your birth. But in the first place, John Mulligan is only one of the many names you've used. Can't even tell me the name of the boat you were rescued from. And single rings are not wrapped up in parcels.
Oh, no.
Mulligan, I'm going to investigate every single thing there is to be known about this story of yours, no matter what it costs.
Only what?
By the time I do, by the time I can prove you're lying, a man's heart will be broken.
Father John.
Yes. John, if you have one spark of manhood left, will you tell me the truth?
The truth? What? Nuts, Doctor. I'll come clean. Get Father John in here.
Have you told him, Paul?
Yes, Father.
John, you are my son.
No, I ain't.
What I want is the truth. The truth, do you hear?
And let him talk, Father John.
Never mind what my name is. That don't matter anyhow. When I pinched the ring, I called myself Mulligan to go with the name on the inside of the band, and John, well, John was the commonest name to go with that. I was the son of a smuggler, and these smugglers posed as fishermen and picked up a baby in an open boat at sea. This ring was found with the kid.
And what happened to this baby?
He was brung up by the boss smuggler. They named him Eddie Graham. Now, he was never bad like the rest of us. Always wanting to learn in school, and as he grew up, everybody got afraid of him.
Afraid of him?
Yeah. He was a dreamy kid. Used to talk about the strangest things. The women said he had second sight. Could see things that other people couldn't.
But where is he now, man?
I ran away when old man Graham died, and when Mrs. Graham passed away, Eddie was on his own. He went to New York, and he started studying to be a lawyer. And then the war came along. He enlisted.
And then?
Father, Eddie Graham went down on the Wasp in the South Pacific. And in dying, he won the Navy Cross.
My son is dead. And how did you get the ring?
I stole it from old man Graham when I ran away. Here. It's really yours. You better take it.
It is indeed.
Well, that's the whole story.
Why did you lie to me yesterday?
Oh, Father, I've been lying to the cops all my life. Well, this time I almost told the truth, but I guess the lying habit was just too strong.
I'm sure he's telling the truth.
John, you're trying to save me the pain of knowing a murderer is my son. It won't work. Just to look at you. Your eyes, your chin, the way you talk. Oh, John, there's no need of lying to me.
But I'm sure he's not lying.
Is there no other proof that this Eddie Graham was my son?
Maybe I can't prove it, Father.
More lies, Johnny?
No, more truth. You remember I said people was afraid of Eddie because they thought he had second sight? Father, supposing I was the baby that was picked up in that boat, I couldn't possibly know what my mother looked like, could I?
No, John, you couldn't.
Well, Eddie Graham knew.
But that's nonsense. He'd be a baby, too.
Yeah, but Eddie could see things other people couldn't. He used to describe his mother to me just as if he had her by his side all the time. And he never saw her.
Sure, John. That's the worst lie of all.
Is it? Well, let me tell you how Eddie would describe her. He'd say, my mother is a beautiful woman. Her hair is parted in the middle and combed straight back from her temples. Long, dark, and wavy it is. There are little wrinkles around the corners of her eyes. And when she smiles, her teeth are white and even. From her right cheek, a little dimple winks when she laughs.
Father John, you all right?
And there's a tiny mole on her left cheek.
'Tis the truth he's telling. 'Tis my Mary. May God have mercy on her.
Father John, keep a grip on yourself.
Paul, I'm all right now. Johnny, I know you haven't the gift of seeing what Eddie Graham could see. Eddie Graham was my son.
Of course he was. I'm just a bum. Oh, here comes a guard.
Time's up, folks.
I'm just ready to go, guard.
Johnny, I can't tell you what you've done for me today. And tomorrow, I'll say a mass for my son. A requiem for a hero.
And, Father, don't forget me, will you?
No, Johnny. The regular chaplain will be back tomorrow, so I won't see you again. But don't you worry. You'll always be in my prayers. Next week, I'll be saying another mass. This one for you.
Goodbye, John.
Goodbye, Miss Judy. Dr. Christian. Goodbye, Father John.
Goodbye, Johnny. God be with you.
I'd like a word in private with John, if you folks don't mind.
All right, Dr. Christian, we'll wait for you outside.
That's a bit irregular, Dr. Christian, but okay.
I never thought a murderer could be something of a hero.
What are you talking about?
John, I'm sure that Eddie Graham lived with you among the smugglers and died a hero.
That's a gospel truth, Dr. Christian.
But I'm sure of another thing, too. The parcel that was found in the boat had much more than the ring in it. Probably some clothing and other valuables. Maybe a photograph, too.
A photograph?
Yes, John, a photograph. I wonder if you'd mind mailing me the photograph you pushed under the cot mattress when Father John and Judy came in.
You know.
Oh, I just couldn't believe that second sight story. No wonder you could describe your mother so well.
But you won't tell Father John. Promise me, Dr. Christian.
I promise. Only you and I will ever know that Eddie Graham was the smuggler's son who went straight. And you were the baby found in the boat. And one more thing, John.
Yes, Doctor.
No matter what your past life has been, John, today you did a heroic thing. I think Father John's Mass for you will also be a requiem for a hero.
And the curtain descends on another Dr. Christian prize play with our star, Jean Hersholt, waiting to greet you. But first, a word from Judy Price.
Baby may have the smoothest, nicest skin there ever was, but remember, Mother, it's also the most sensitive. When baby begins to fuss and cry because his skin is red and chafed, that's your cue to apply soothing Vaseline petroleum jelly. Smooth it on tender, irritated places. Massage it into the folds of skin where clothing rubs. And Mother, use just as much Vaseline petroleum jelly as you wish. It's pure, it's gentle, it's safe. It brings to baby's touchy skin three benefits. One, Vaseline petroleum jelly soothes irritated skin. Two, it forms a protective film that helps keep out infection when the skin is broken. Three, it helps to promote quick healing. Vaseline petroleum jelly brings comfort to grown-ups' chafed skin, too. So keep an extra jar or tube handy. And remember, there are many petroleum jellies on the market, but only one bears the trademark Vaseline. That trademark, owned by the Cheesebro Manufacturing Company, is your guarantee of absolute purity. And now here is Jean Hersholt.
Thank you very much. When you hear Art Gilmore say at the beginning of this program, the only show on radio where the audience writes the scripts, well, we mean just that. The plays you've been hearing on the Dr. Christian program since June 1942 have all been contributed by our audience in our annual script competitions. For example, tonight's fine play came from Robert P. Tolan of South Boston, Massachusetts. He has been a winner four times in as many competitions. He was not a professional writer to start. Writing is still his avocation since he is employed by the Veterans Administration in Boston. I think you will agree that he has great writing talent, which should be encouraged. And that's one of the main purposes of our annual Dr. Christian Award, to encourage writing talent and to bring new ideas and fresh writers to the medium of radio. Gives me great pleasure, therefore, to announce tonight the fifth annual competition for the $2,000 Dr. Christian Award. The competition closes on March 31st, 1946. The winner will be selected by a prominent committee of experts whose names will be announced later. In addition to the $2,000 winner, other scripts chosen for presentation on the Dr. Christian program will be paid for at not less than $150, nor more than $350. And the competition is open to everyone. Write for the folder of rules to the Dr. Christian Award, 17 State Street, Zone 4, New York City. Next Wednesday evening, we plan to present a new prize play, The Hoofer, by Kathleen Rollins of Denver, Colorado. Same time and same station. And until then, I'll say good night.
Don't forget that address Jean Hersholt just gave you, folks. If you wish to enter a radio script for the $2,000 Dr. Christian Award for 1946, write for the folder of rules to Dr. Christian Award, 17 State Street, Zone 4, New York City. Don't delay. Write tonight. Art Gilmore speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.